Dan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
You are once again with us live. We hope you're having a beautiful night and ready for, as we call, the dialogue. So we're going to get right into the discussion on Catholics and their teaching. We know that the Catholic authorities teach that the Catholic Church is the only true church because they state the church in this world is the sacrament of the salvation, the sign and the instrument of communion of God and men. It is the mother church, that Mary was forever a virgin without sin and full of God's grace from birth, and the mother of all Christians, and delivered Jesus without pain. They teach that she is the new Eve, the Ark of the Covenant. She was taken up to heaven in her actual body. They teach that communion is the actual body and blood of Jesus, and that the priest has power in himself to cause the wafer to be transformed and changed. They call the Mass a sacrifice. They teach baptism saves, and that the communion table is a means of grace. We believe the Holy Scriptures speak against these false teachings, and that in order to believe such things, you have to sway away from the Bible and the teachings of the apostles.
And I've yet to see any of this in the Scriptures. So,
So Dan, after all that I just said, is there any particular area you would like to discuss this evening, or do you have something else in mind?
Well, this could be an ongoing discussion for several months, but I definitely believe the best way to approach this with the Roman Catholic listeners out there would be to try to focus in upon what the Roman Catholic Church is teaching about salvation in contrast to what the Bible actually teaches, what the Lord Jesus and his apostles, including Peter, declared about salvation. I remember when I was a Roman Catholic, before I finally made my exit, I was actually wearing what is called a brown scapular. Someone gave me one of these, and a brown scapular is something you drape over your shoulders. One patch is on one side in the front, and the other part of the brown scapular is on your back. And this one part of the brown scapular, it actually says this, quote, "Whoever dies wearing this brown scapular shall not suffer eternal fire," unquote. Well, when you read through the Bible, you find out most definitely that is not what the Bible declares about salvation. It's also, that is the Bible, also does not declare what the Fatima Portugal vision declares about salvation either. I have in my hand at this very moment a little booklet put out by Ave Maria Institute, and it's supposed to be the message of Fatima, and on page 26, Mary is allegedly speaking, and this is what she said according to the Roman Catholic Church, quote, "My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God," unquote. Well, we know from John 14:6, Jesus is the way that will lead us to God. Mary's not the way. In fact, no church is the way. And also, it says here in this Fatima Portugal vision that Mary is our refuge. Well, the Bible declares God is our refuge. No person is our refuge. And this brings us right back around to some of the things that you said, Kathy, at the beginning of this broadcast, what the Roman Catholic Church is declaring about Mary. A lot of people don't understand present-day Roman Catholicism. Since Vatican Council II, a lot of people have a misunderstanding just exactly where the Roman Catholic Church is today about a lot of the key issues. Especially if one would find out what they are declaring about Mary, they will see that what they are declaring is not biblical. And not only is it not biblical, it's very, very dangerous. It's poisonous. In fact, the Catholic Church wants us to look to Mary. She's supposed to be our refuge and our protection, the way that will lead us to God, the Ark of the Covenant. And in fact, even beyond that, let me give you some of the things according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, what they have said about Mary. And that will just add to what you already declared. They say that Mary was redeemed at the point of her conception and preserved free from original sin and all personal sin. That she was sinless her whole life through and co-redemptrix with Christ. She was the cause of her own salvation as well as the salvation of the human race. We have life through Mary. Mary is supposed to be the mother of God. Mary was a perpetual virgin. James and Joseph were sons of a different Mary. Jesus was Mary's only son, but she is the spiritual mother of all. Mary cooperated in human salvation. The church is in Mary. It is mother and son in the work of salvation. Mary joined herself with Jesus' sacrifice by enduring the intensity of his suffering. And after her death, Mary was resurrected bodily in heaven as queen over all things. Mary's resurrection is part of Jesus' resurrection. Mary is co-savior in restoring supernatural life to souls. Mary's intercession from heaven brings gifts of salvation. Mary is our advocate, our helper, our benefactress, and our mediatrix. Mary doesn't diminish Christ's unique mediation. Basic to Christian worship is devotion to Mary. The faithful go to Mary in their times of danger and need. The epitome of the whole gospel, the rosary, expresses devotion to Mary. On and on it goes, and especially, listen to some of these. To improperly use Mary's name is a violation of the second commandment, which forbids the abuse of God's name. Now, that's the second commandment that's found in Roman Catholicism, which is not the second commandment that's found in the Bible. That was one of the big shocks for me. Coming from a Roman Catholic background, I started reading the Bible. I came to Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. And I was reading what the Bible has to say about the Ten Commandments, and I seen that what I was taught as a young Catholic boy from the Baltimore Catechism does not line up with the Ten Commandments found in the Bible. What the Roman Catholic Church has done, they have taken the command out of the scriptures, the one that's found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, where we are commanded not to make bow down to any graven image, because God is a jealous God. So the Roman Catholic Church, they axed that right out. How did they come up with the 10th command, since they took the second command out? What they did, they went down to verse 17, and this is the 10th command found in Exodus chapter 20, and they made two commandments out of it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17 says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife." They went ahead and broke that up in two commandments to make up for the one that they took out. And of course the Catholic Church would want to cover that up, because what they do on Good Friday, they bow before graven images and they kiss the feet of an image, and they think they're passing their veneration and devotion on to Jesus. And even though their intention might be right, this is not what the Bible says about worshiping God. We're to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to do such would actually be idolatry. This is the serious violation that has been committed by Catholics all around the world on Good Friday. And the Bible says in Revelation 21:8 that idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the whole Roman Catholic system, from the Mary apparitions to the brown scapular, and even the rosary itself, where they pray, "Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope," it's declaring something other than what the Bible says. Mary is not our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Jesus is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. We're to trust in Jesus, not an association or a connection with any institution that even might proclaim itself to be Noah's Ark. And that's exactly how the Roman Catholic Church at times in the past have identified themselves. Just like the Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way. I have a background refuting cultic beliefs. My brother used to be a Jehovah's Witness. And I know some of the things that the Jehovah's Witnesses have said about themselves. And one of the things that they have said is that their Watchtower Society, who they think is Jehovah's organization, they are likened unto Noah's Ark. The same kind of claim the Roman Catholic Church makes for itself. Now, some of these things have been altered, and of course it would bring in a contradiction. The unum sanctum contradiction is an interesting thing to ponder, because the Roman Catholic Church would say that tradition and sacred scripture go hand in hand, but the problem is that if you look at one of the things that they consider to be infallible, that would be a decree by Boniface. Boniface said that there's no salvation unless you're in subjection to the Roman pontiff. Let me give you the actual quote. He said, quote, "Furthermore, that every human creature is subject to the Roman pontiff, this we declare, say, define, and pronounce to be altogether necessary to salvation," unquote. Now, that's what he declared, and that was in 1302. And then afterwards, of course, the Roman Catholic Church, they're trying to make their message more acceptable to the people, and they're trying to make allowances for other organizations and world religions, such as the Muslims. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 841, this is page 223, we read this, quote, "The plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator in the first place, amongst whom are the Muslims," unquote. Well, you could see the Muslims are not in subjection to the Roman pontiff. if Boniface was right, if that was a truly infallible statement, an ex-cathedra statement, then how is it this statement could be true? There's definitely a contradiction. They're not adding one to the other. It's a flat-out contradiction, one with the other. Their so-called sacred tradition contradicts other so-called sacred tradition, which, of course, would violate the Bible. The Bible doesn't say anything at all about being in subjection to the Roman pontiff. There was no Roman pontiff in the Bible. There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, no pope anywhere. Peter was not a pope. When they had a council in Jerusalem, Peter was present, but Peter did not preside over. Peter was a married man. He had a mother-in-law in Matthew 8, verse 14, and the Lord Jesus healed her. So you have all kind of problems. When you start reading the Bible as a Catholic, you start seeing all kind of problems with what you have been taught, and especially in regards to Mary. This is the big issue with Catholics. It's one thing to denounce purgatory, and a lot of Catholics don't even believe in purgatory, and I'm glad that they don't. They're right not to believe in purgatory. After all, Jesus said there's two gates, two roads, two groups of people. He never mentioned a third road, which would be the purgatory road, if such existed. It doesn't exist.
Destiny, and one thing. In fact, the Catholic Church says a lot of times, if you don't believe what they teach, you're really not Catholic, and you're really damned. I mean, especially if you walk away from the church and join another church, they say you have no chance.
And another thing, too, you know, when you read the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does the Bible give Mary the preference that the Catholic Church does.
Amen.
I mean, in fact, Mary is kept in the background, and, you know, the very last mention of Mary is when she's in the upper room. Bible says there was 120 in the upper room, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And as you study the Old Testament, I'd like somebody to show me anywhere in type where Mary was foretold to be all that the Catholic Church has proclaimed her to be in the New Testament. I find Jesus very strong. I mean, every time they sacrificed a lamb, it was typifying. It was talking about Jesus. But nowhere in the Old Testament do you ever find Mary as being foretold to be any of these things that the Catholic Church portrays her to be.
Amen. And sadly, they try to say that at the hour of her death, we are to entrust ourselves to Mary and to look to Mary. Well, we see a definite contradiction to this very, very clearly in the Word of God. We see where Stephen was dying, and did he entrust himself to Mary? No. Instead, he entrusted himself to Jesus, the one that he had been trusting in and following all along. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, it says in Acts 7:59. So there are many, many problems that we see. The Roman Catholic Church even would have us think that in heaven, the focal point in heaven is Jesus and Mary. They think Mary is the Queen of Heaven, that she's the mother of the church, the mediatrix of all graces, the mother of mercies, on and on and on it goes. But when you read the Bible, you don't see that. When Peter wrote part of the New Testament, Peter never mentioned Mary, never referred to Mary, not even one single time. If Peter was supposed to be the Pope, then we have to question, well, how is it he was so different from these people today that call themselves the Pope and a successor of Peter? They're always exalting Mary, but Peter never did that. Neither did John do the same thing. Go ahead, Kathy.
The phones are ringing off the hook. Now, we told them that we wouldn't probably take a call until the half hour. And if I get into this, I'm not sure if I'm going to lose you or not. So I wanted the ones that are calling in, if you're calling long distance, why don't you call back in 10 more minutes, and then we'll let Dan answer some of your questions. If you're willing to wait on the line, you can do that also. But one other thing I wanted to bring to your attention, Dan, Roman Catholicism's cult of the Virgin and goddess worship in pagan religions has been a common lie of the serpent worldwide in order to prevent faith in the Messiah alone and to subvert the gospel of God's grace. Roman Catholic Bibles for centuries proclaimed that the woman herself, not Christ, would destroy the serpent. Genesis 3:15 was rendered, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel." The Douay Challenger text, the Catholic Press Incorporated, Chicago, 1950 is when it was written. The same text identifying Mary as the conqueror of Satan is found in a huge Catholic family Bible published in the late 1700s. Although most modern Catholic Bibles render Genesis 3:15 properly now, their glorification of Mary obscures the truth. And that's what you're getting at here on Mary as co-redemptrix.
Yeah, it's really an amazing thing when a Catholic would start to draw near to God, and they go to the Scriptures to get the truth. And they start to read these things, all of a sudden their eyes are jarred open. As a Catholic, when I started reading the Bible, I could not believe what I was reading in the Catholic Bible. And what the Catholic New Testament says is what caused me to leave the Roman Catholic Church. The final straw was the Fatima, Portugal vision. But I would have never trusted any Protestant Bible at the time. I was a staunch Roman Catholic. I had said very dogmatically, I will die a Roman Catholic. I don't know how many generation Roman Catholic I'm coming from, but all I know is that the Bible doesn't teach what the Roman Catholic Church is declaring about salvation. We can have instant salvation the moment we trust on Jesus Christ. And of course, according to other scriptures, Matthew 10:22, we have to endure to the end. So you can fall from grace. You can't turn away from God after you have salvation. But the point is, you can have salvation now, the moment you call upon Jesus. You don't go to Jesus through Mary. Go directly to Jesus. And this is a very important point. I'd like to stress this because a lot of people would scream, no, no, no. You are misrepresenting the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church doesn't teach any of these things that you're saying. Well, first of all, they're teaching everything that we've said. We can document these things. And then the same type of person might come back and say, well, we believe that we're saved by grace.
Well, you know, you can even go to the Catholic Internet and you'll find these things. I've got a whole book of what they're saying.
And yeah. By the way, too, now, the people say, well, you shouldn't be talking against the Catholic Church like this, but did you know the Catholic Church says if you are not Catholic, let you be anathema, you're cursed.
Yeah, and two points I would like to make. Number one, grace of the Roman Catholic Church is sacraments. See, their salvation message centers around the sacraments. So even though they use the term grace, it really means sacraments. And number two, you mentioned Vatican Council II. A lot of people don't know Vatican Council II reaffirmed the councils or the various councils of the past, including the Council of Trent. And the Council of Trent declared over 100 anathemas on people that would disagree with their doctrine.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble. It seems like we got a problem then, because I definitely disagree. And, you know, it's just like I said last week, you know, we disagree with Catholic doctrine, but we do love the Catholic people.
Yes, amen.
And you know, and we're doing everything we can to get them to see that salvation is only in one place, and that's in Jesus Christ. And he's the only one that came into the world to die. And by the way, he was God. He didn't need help from humanity.
And
the only thing he needed Mary for was to be obedient, and to be the one that he would use to bring the body of Christ to the world. But that body, that baby that was born of Mary, was also God.
Yes, amen.
He doesn't need any help when it comes to doing what needs to be done. He's established it all. And, you know, he came and died on the cross. He completed it all. Then he's now in heaven on the right. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. He doesn't need any help. That's what he's there for. He is the intercessor now.
Amen. And Jesus always invited sinners to come directly to himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Never told anybody to go to Mary. The dying thief didn't go to Mary to get to Jesus, even though she was at the foot of the cross. He went directly to Jesus, and Jesus took him in. And Jesus did not say to him, this day you'll be with me in purgatory, so this day you'll be with me in paradise. One final point before we go back to anything you want to bring up, and that is what the Roman Catholic Church is teaching about the treasury of the church. This is an amazing teaching in itself. If anybody out there is thinking that the Roman Catholic Church is evangelical, that they're teaching the message of the New Testament, all you have to do is ponder what they're declaring about the treasury of the church. Let me read a quote-unquote. This is paragraph 1477, page 371 from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Now, this is what we read about the treasury of the church. Quote, this treasury includes as well the prayers and good works of the Blessed Virgin Mary. They are truly immense, unfathomable, even pristine in their value before God. In the treasury, too, are the prayers and the good works of all the saints, all those who have followed in the footsteps of Christ the Lord and by his grace have made their lives holy and carried out the mission of the Father entrusted to them. In this way, they attained their own salvation, and at the same time cooperated in saving their brothers in the unity of the mystical body, unquote. So you attain your own salvation and save other people. If you got these prayers and good works, Mary and the other saints over here, and this is not the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation that God has provided for mankind. It's all summed up in Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He shed his precious blood on the cross once and for all. It's not to be repeated in the unbloody sacrifice of the Mass. It's over 2,000 years now. It has been over. And Jesus is alive today. Amen.
Amen. Well, we got the call, the lines lighting up, and I'm going to ask Tom to help me here. I'm going to the first caller, which would be Larry, and if I lose you, brother, he's going to pick you up again. We discussed this. I think I've got it, but I said that the last time. So let's go for it.
Yeah, we don't want to drop you, so if we do,
we'll be right back.
Beautiful.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and I think Jerry's with you. You with him, Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay, Jerry. He's got a question for you, Dan.
Okay, Dan. I'm a recently former Catholic. About 5 years ago, I started questioning. I've been a Catholic all my life. First of all, I was always saying my rosaries and had devotion to the Blessed Virgin. And now I realize that since the Blessed Virgin is not omnipresent, and neither are the saints, that neither Mary nor the saints can be everywhere and hear everyone's prayers like Jesus, like God. So I think there's a big problem there. A couple of these wonderful saints that the popes have coronated. Here's a verse from St. John Vianney. The Blessed Virgin is the doorkeeper of heaven, and we cannot gain entry there without calling upon her help. St. Louis de Montfort, the salvation of the world began with the Hail Mary. Hence, the salvation of each person is also attached to this prayer. Now, this is on this year's 2003, next year's, America Needs Fatima from Hanover, Pennsylvania. It's a Fatima calendar. So there you go. I mean, you have these saints that are all coronated as saints, and they're talking about Mary being our salvation. So there's a little bit of proof there. Now, Dan, my question, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, my question for you, I guess I have a couple. First of all, you hear a lot, the Catholics are saying, the Bible was given to the world by the Catholic Church. I mean, you know, well, that's their statement, and I believe it's false. Another, if you can kind of note this, the Fatima vision you mentioned, would you give your thoughts about that? And the third one, please explain the Crusades. I believe they were conducted not by Christians. Many Christians were martyred by the popes that were conducting the Crusades. The Christians were called heretics. And please explain that to me in the audience. Was it the Christians? Was it the popes? Was it the emperors? Who was conducting the Crusades? You know, I don't think it was Christians. I think it was popes. Do you have those three?
Yes, I do. I do
okay,
have the three.
I'll hang up. Listen.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. I'm amazed that you would see the things about these so-called canonized saints that you brought out, because I've noticed the same exact thing myself. The popes in the past, what they've said about these people that they've exalted to sainthood is heretical. I say that as kind and as nice as I can, but it does not line up with the Bible. It would point people away from biblical salvation. You asked the question about what the Roman Catholic Church would be saying, that the Bible came to the world through Roman Catholicism. Well, this is not true. Very, very clearly, we see in Romans chapter 3, verse 2, the Apostle Paul is writing about the Jews. Hello? Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Okay. In Romans chapter 3, verse 2, the scripture says, much in every way, first of all, they have been entrusted with the very words of God. Now, he's writing about the Jews. So the Old Testament was entrusted to the Jews. It was here. Now, the New Testament, of course, the Roman Catholic Church would have to say that Peter and John and all the others, these were all Roman Catholics, and that came to us from the Roman Catholic Church. But I like what my grandmother said after she left the Roman Catholic Church, and her priest, her elderly priest, my grandmother was elderly, but the priest was elderly too, and he went to visit her when there were not visiting hours and was trying to get her to confess her sins and come back into the Roman Catholic Church. And he brought this issue up about the Bible. And I love my grandmother's answer. She said this, the issue is who's obeying the Bible. And if you get right down to it, the plan of salvation being taught by the Roman Catholic Church is not the plan of salvation declared in the New Testament. And if this wasn't for eternity, it wouldn't be so important. And But of course it is. That's why it is so important. So the Bible did not come to the world through the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church began slowly over the course of hundreds of years. Nobody prayed the rosary until 1090 AD. The first 1,000 years after Jesus died, nobody ever prayed the rosary. Which, by the way, the rosary is a violation to one of the commands of God. Not to get too far off on a tangent, but I do want to throw this in while I'm mentioning it right now. Jesus actually taught when you pray, do not pray repetitiously as the pagans pray, because they think they will be heard for their many words. This is in Matthew 6, 5 through 8. So that's a direct violation to the command of God. Secondly, the caller asked about the Fatima, Portugal vision. Well, not only Fatima, but you have Lourdes and Guadalupe and so many others, these Mary apparitions, where Roman Catholicism is actually taught. And sadly, a wrong plan of salvation is being proclaimed. Now, I have in that same little booklet that I referred to before about the Fatima, Portugal vision, where Mary gave a promise. Now, I want you to listen to this promise that Mary gave Lucia. This is on page 47. Quote, I promise to assist at the hour of death with all the graces necessary for salvation all those who on the first Saturday of 5 consecutive months go to confession and receive Holy Communion, recite 5 decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for a quarter of an hour while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary with intention of making reparation to me. Unquote. Now, this is a promise, allegedly from Mary, about salvation. And this is, again, not what the Bible says about salvation at all. I remember what a shock it was for me to find out, coming from a Roman Catholic background, that other religions also claim visions. In Mormonism, they claim all kind of visions. Seventh-day Adventism also claims all kind of visions. The problem is these visions contradict one another, so either God is thoroughly confused, or there's another source of these visions, and the Bible says there is. The Bible says the devil can come as an angel of light. He can produce a vision and deceive people, and this is exactly what has been going on for a long, long time. A lot of very sincere people, myself included for a time period, was deceived about the most important thing you could ever be deceived about, and that is salvation. And my eyes were opened up by going to the Word. And by the way, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the Scriptures were given to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So if you want to learn about salvation, go to the Bible, not to the Fatima, Portugal vision or anywhere else. You won't find the truth about salvation there. Thirdly, the thing that was brought up was about the Crusades. Besides the Crusades, look at the various Inquisitions that have occurred in the past. Another eye-opener to me. I never knew until somebody mentioned it to me. In fact, it was a Jehovah's Witness that first mentioned it to me about the Spanish Inquisition. And of course, along with the Crusades, we go to the Spanish Inquisition and other atrocities like that, even Bloody Mary, the woman that burned so many Protestants at the stake, killed them. And this is a persecution against Protestants, people that would reject Roman Catholicism. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you'll see many examples of that, where people were put to death because they stood on the Scriptures, on the New Testament, declaring the things that Peter and John and James and the others wrote, and standing fast on that and rejecting subjection to the Pope and purgatory and the Mass, and Mary is being worshipped and looked to and trusted in, and to think that she's our helper and our protector and our refuge and all this and that. That has all been rejected by these people that were put to death by the Roman Catholic Church.
Wasn't the transubstantiation in that also where they actually said if you didn't believe that it was the actual body of Jesus,
yes,
that many people were really persecuted and killed over that?
Many people.
Yeah, and here's a good verse. It's Acts 20:28. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. I think that's pretty strong, isn't it? And it tells you that this church, that the one that the Catholics claim to be, is the very one that Jesus Christ died, and it says that since Jesus is God, that he died and he purchased the church with his blood. Now, why would he need help from Mary, from saints, from anyone else.
That's right.
When he's the one that accomplished it all.
Amen. And he said it is finished.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay, we got another call. And I think this is Larry. Larry, you're on the line.
Yes, is your guest there?
Yes.
It's very pleasing to hear your knowledge of the Roman Catholic system. My brother just came back from a two-week vacation in Italy, and the Bible speaks of the lies and wonders and the deceit. It does actually point to the Roman papacy as the great Antichrist or the in place of Christ here on earth. And he brought forth a lot of interesting things that I want to share with you and your listeners. First of all, you mentioned the verse in Genesis 3:15. It talks about the crushing of the serpent's head.
Just a moment. Dan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good.
In every Roman Catholic church in Italy that he went to, the Basilica, St. Peter's Basilica, all of these churches, they have pictures up of Mary crushing the serpent's head.
That's a statue also.
They also have a door, a golden door that's encased in concrete. And every 25 years, they chip away all the concrete. And if you walk through this golden door, you receive so much penance. But, of course, it costs you, money out of your pocket to go through there. They also claim to have the bones of St. Andrew. And once a year, these bones drip manna into a cup. And the priest goes in, and you can receive some sort of penance for viewing this. The Roman Catholic system is so corrupt in its anti-view of Scripture. You said that the papacy is equal with tradition, and I really don't believe that. I believe that the papacy calls all the shots. The Pope ex cathedra can say anything he wants, change Scripture to whatever fits his needs. And the word in the Latin is imprimatur. When he does that, there is no argument. Secondly, I would say behind the papacy is tradition. And thirdly, they put the Bible or God's holy word a sorry third, and they interpret the Bible any way they want. Also, in the churches over in Italy, they feel that they have been given the office of the keys, and I don't know if you're familiar with that phrase, but that the grace is only stored up in the Roman system. And like you said, you're damned to hell if you don't believe in the Roman system.
Isn't an official document in the Catholic Church, it's called a bull, right?
The papal bull is issued out by different popes. You can read up on the different papal bulls.
Yeah.
But one other thing, your guest, he was talking about Mary as a co-redemptrix. And, Mary in Luke, the verse that I can recall, and I don't have a Bible in front of me, but she cries out, "My Lord, my soul magnifies the Lord, my Savior." If Mary was without sin, why would she need a Savior? I really believe this, the Roman Catholic system in conjunction with the Roman government are responsible for more deaths than any one group in the history of this world. And if you do some research on this, possibly over 100 million people. But we always hear about Hitler. We always hear about Mao Zedong and these people. But the Roman government and the Roman Catholic Church are probably responsible for more deaths
Let me say a few things, because I'm certain that there are a lot of Catholics out there that are very, very upset at this point in time. The best way to approach anybody that's believing something that's in spiritual error is to just go to the Scriptures and document what the Bible has to say about a particular teaching and show them what they are supposed to believe, show the contradiction, and if they have a heart for truth, they should change accordingly and believe what the Bible says. You mentioned something about over in Italy where they have images and statues where Mary's crushing the serpent's head. Well, you don't have to go over there. The Roman Catholic Church I went to had that kind of statue in the church. And I remember what a shock it was for me reading the Bible in Luke chapter 11. We read this, Luke 11:27-28. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd cried out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it."
Right.
So Jesus rebuked this woman, rebuked her openly. And this sounds exactly like a present-day Roman Catholic that would be exalting Mary, because Mary gave birth to Jesus. But Jesus wouldn't have any of that. Jesus wanted everybody to know who the blessed ones are. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. This is Luke 11:27-28. What a shock that was to me to read. I couldn't believe it, because I was taught something altogether different than what the Bible teaches. You see, the Catholic Church is teaching a different salvation message, totally a different salvation message. It was brought about a different way than what the Bible declares. And the Mary of the Bible is not the Mary of Roman Catholicism. And it's just a horrible mess. And the problem is there are precious, precious souls out there that are hanging in the balance. And I plead with these people to get to the New Testament, read what the New Testament says. Don't go by any study notes or anybody's commentary on it. Just believe what the verse itself has to say about these things in the New Testament. Read what Jesus and the apostles taught, and you're in for a shock. You're going to find out that Mary has no role at all in salvation. And when salvation messages were proclaimed, especially in the book of Acts, you see Peter doing that on more than one occasion. You will see he never mentioned Mary one time in any way in having any role whatsoever in salvation. So if we're saved just like they were saved, and they were saved by faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that would bring forth good fruit and turning from wickedness and idols, well, then we better do the same, or we don't have the salvation that the Bible speaks of.
Larry's got one more question. Go ahead.
You know, I heard Justin Regali, and he's the head, I think he's like an archbishop here in St. Louis. I heard him preach a sermon, it was about a year ago, and the sermon was supposed to be a sermon of the gospel, but in his sermon he said, when Christ said on the cross, "It is finished," that's not really what he meant. What he meant to say was that you need to contribute to your salvation through your works. And in Romans, it's very clear that Christ perfected the letter of the law in our place. He had to live the law, not only die on the cross for our sins, he had to live the law perfectly in our place as demanded by his Father. Because if he didn't live the law perfectly, the sacrifice on the cross would have meant nothing. He had to do everything God demanded, and he fulfilled the letter of the law, and he died. And when he said, "It is finished," the debt is paid in full. I have borne the sins of every human being that has ever been on this earth. That is exactly what he meant.
Amen. Well, okay, Larry, thanks for the call. We're going to get Dan's address now.
All right, I'll be glad to give you my address. It's Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, P.A., and the zip is 15301.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we're trying this again, Dan. I don't know what's going on. Okay. Anyhow, we just gave a little bit more of what we wanted to say, but while we've got someone that's on the line, would you give your address and how they can get in touch with you, and if you have anything available on Catholicism?
Yes, we have all kind of free material on Roman Catholicism for anybody that's on the Internet. All you have to do is come to our website. It's www.evangelicaloutreach.org. And one of the songs, let me just throw this out real quick, one of the songs that the Roman Catholic Church would sing is Immaculate Mary. And part of that would go, "Immaculate Mary, your praises we sing. You reign now in splendor with Jesus our King." You see, they would say that or sing that because they think she's the Queen of Heaven. The only time we read in the Bible of a Queen of Heaven is in the book of Jeremiah, and that's where people were in trouble with God because they were turning to idolatry, believing in a Queen of Heaven.
Just going to take this next call, Dan. Here it goes. We'll see what's happening.
Let's do it.
Okay. You're on the air with Dan Carnes. Did you have a question or comment?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, in reference to the last statement, in reference to the concept or the idea that Mary, as reference to, how would he say that, as just someone who is
a comforter?
Well, no, not the comforter, but
mediatrix.
What was the term he used?
Mediatrix, advocate, helper, protector.
No, that's not what he said.
Okay.
But the idea was that, you know, it put her in a bad light, so to speak. And I'm wondering why he did that.
He put her in a bad light?
Well, that's what the way I understood it.
Okay,
I think the whole concept here is that we're not putting Mary in light. We're just trying to put her in the true perspective
right.
of who Mary is and what she really was. And like I said, the Catholic Mary is not the Mary of the Bible. Because several reasons is Mary herself, she stood in the background. She's not to be worshipped. She's not to be venerated. She had a normal death, and she's in heaven. So we respect Mary as being in the place that Jesus gave her. She's blessed among women. But we don't make a god out of her. We don't make her equal with Jesus. And she's not a mediatrix. She's not a priestess. She's not anything. She's in heaven right now. And she's waiting just like all the saints
of God. And she's my sister, not my mother.
Right.
Right.
Well, I don't think that there's any problem with that. I think, mm-hmm. that, you know, the Catholics certainly recognize that as being the case. You know,
do they not call her the mother of the church, though?
Well, only in the sense that she was the one selected to bring about the Savior in the world. She was certainly in a very special place, you might say.
David, how do you perceive that?
I don't think that was in terms of the salvation concept.
Well, the Roman Catholic Church look at Mary in a much greater and more elevated way than just how this gentleman is describing her. According to Roman Catholicism, all you have to do is consider some of the statements we have already made about her. I think I already mentioned that they think that she was sinless. I think that is an amazing statement, especially in light of what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, that's part of the unique glory of God, that you're sinless, and yet they're saying that that's what Mary was. In fact, they get that from the distortion of Mary being called full of grace. Now, a lot of Catholics don't know this, but in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power. So if Mary was sinless because she was full of grace, then Stephen must have been sinless too, and even more because he was full of God's grace and power. That's Acts chapter 6, verse 8. But the Roman Catholic Church has exalted Mary to the place where they pray to her, they praise her, they bow before her, they look to her, they trust in her, especially at the hour of their death. They pray the rosary that she's our life, our sweetness, and our hope, our most gracious advocate. None of these things are true. In fact, I say this as kind as I can. I mean it. I say it as kind as I can. If you're looking to Mary for salvation, you're going to miss heaven and end up in hell. There is no purgatory. You must put your faith in Jesus. And it must be the kind of faith that you submit to Him and live for Him right to the very end. Go ahead.
Well, I would say that you're raising a mad dog argument in referencing that they're putting Mary before Jesus. Now, there's no question.
No, I never said that. I never said before Jesus. I'm saying, it's Jesus and Mary. In fact, they say to Jesus through Mary, and they make many other statements like, you see, the plan of salvation of the Bible doesn't include Mary at all. Mary's not mentioned anywhere, nowhere.
An argument from silence, though?
No. No, it's not.
There it is. If you think in terms of the...
Well, they taught what salvation was in the Bible. They told us what the gospel was, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4.
Yeah,
Mary's not mentioned.
Listen to me once, okay? Your foundational argument is they, meaning the church, the Catholic Church, okay, in terms of how they're interpreting certain passages in Scripture, okay? And then you make your references to the Bible, okay?
Yes.
But the point is that the Catholic Church gave you the Bible... Okay, if you're going to function on sola scriptura, then you've got a real problem because there was no Bible in terms of the masses of the people for 1600 years.
Well, sir, the Roman Catholic Church...
The problem is that the church was the one who was entrusted, okay, by the Savior to...
That's not true. That's not true. Okay, please just listen. Listen for a minute and a half. Just listen for a minute and a half. No, wait. Okay, what I wanted to say was this. They're saying, again, that the Roman Catholic Church has given us the Bible. All you have to do is read the New Testament, and you'll see that these people were not Catholics. They were not believing these things and teaching the things that we shared on this show, the things that are taught in the Catechism of the Catholic Church and Vatican Council II at Trent. None of these things is what they declared.
No, the apostles were Jewish, weren't they?
No doubt about it. And they pointed people to Jesus and faith in Him alone, a commitment to Him, and to continue in the faith to the very end. And we look to the Bible because the Bible is given for correction, doctrine, training, and righteousness and reproof. Our teaching is to come from the Bible alone. And this is what the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. This is what a man of God does. If you don't think the Bible is good enough, if you need something other than the Scriptures, then you must not be a man of God, according to 2 Timothy 3:16-17.
Yes. Mary was born of the seed, same seed as you and I. And that means that she was born with the nature to sin. And that doesn't mean she couldn't go to heaven. But I don't...
She needed a Savior.
Yes, just
she
like we do.
Well, the Catholic Church has declared her sinless, free of original sin and personal sin. So there's a definite problem between what the Roman Catholic Church is declaring and what the Bible declares about Mary. Again, it's a different Mary.
If that would have been the truth, then she would have been mentioned in the Bible as probably as prominently as Jesus was.
Yeah, but she never was.
And I tell you what, we're running out of time. And Dan, I want you to give your name and number again. And like I said, the lines are lighting up. And we'll have to continue this again with Dan. And I'll tell you, this is very important that we know these things. And in fact, we only got 2 minutes left. Did you want him to come next
week? Dan, would you like to do it again next week?
Sure, I'd be glad to. It'd be wonderful.
Well, Dan will be back to continue this next week. And God bless
you. Well, thank you.
I want to talk
okay, will do. God bless you. Thank you.
And